Welcome back. In the age of Trump, how do we deal with anxiety? Seriously, we've had on this program both when we were in D.C. a month or so ago, a D.C. psychiatrist and a D.C. psychotherapist, PhD psychoanalyst, who both told us on the air that they were seeing an explosion in their patient populations as a consequence of political anxiety. And the psychiatrist said that most of the people coming in were saying, quick, give me some SSRIs. I need some Prozac. I'm freaked out. Johann Hari has written a brilliant new book. It's called Lost Connections, Uncovering the Real Causes of Depression and the Unexpected Solutions. And this is more focused on specifically depression, but there's a connection to all of these things. And Johann is with us on the line right now. The book is Lost Connections. The website is thelostconnections.com. And you can tweet Johann at Johann Hari, J-O-H-A-N-N-H-A-R-I 101. Johann, welcome back to the program.
I'm really excited to be on the program, Tom, not least because your writing about ADHD and your son really helped me to frame and think about this book. So I'm totally thrilled to be with you. Thank you.
Whoa, that's high praise. Thank you. Thank you. So why did you write Lost Connections? What inspired you to do this book?
There were these two mysteries that were kind of hanging over me. I was quite frightened to look into them. One was, why was I still depressed? When I was a teenager, I'd gone to my doctor. I'd said, I've got this sense like pain is leaking out of me. I can't control it. I can't regulate it. I was quite ashamed. And my doctor told me a story. He said, there's a chemical called serotonin in people's brains. You're clearly lacking it. That's why you feel this way. We'll give you these drugs to boost your serotonin levels. You'll be fine. And I felt a real sense of relief to be given that story. And when I started taking the drugs, I felt an even bigger sense of relief. But a couple of months later, that sense of pain started to come back. So I went back to my doctor. He gave me a higher dose. Again, I felt a bit better. Again, the pain came back. That continued until I was taking the maximum possible dose for 13 years. And at the end of it, I still felt really, I was in a lot of pain. The second question, the much more important one, is I wanted to understand why so many other people were in so much pain. One in five Americans has taken a psychiatric drug. One in four middle-aged women in America, in the United States, is taking a chemical antidepressant. And it seemed to me, instinctively, it couldn't be just that something was going wrong inside the chemistry of people's brains. If it was, why is it increasing so much? Like you say, why would it go up after Trump? Trump was not an event in the chemistry of our brains. He was an event in the world. So I went and interviewed the leading scientists all over the world about what causes depression and anxiety and what solves them, from Berlin to Buenos Aires, from Sydney to San Francisco. And I learned so many things. One is that story my doctor told me is not true. Depression is not caused just by a chemical imbalance in your brain. Professor Andrew Scull at Princeton University says it is deeply misleading and unscientific to say that depression is just caused by chemical imbalance. That doesn't mean there's no value to chemical antidepressants. There's some. Happy to talk about that if you want. But the causes of depression and anxiety, I learned, are largely in the way we live. There are some biological factors, but there are seven key factors in the way we're living today that are causing depression and anxiety, that are making it much worse, and that there are very different kinds of antidepressants waiting for us, which are about solving those problems.
So those different kinds of antidepressants, you're not talking about drugs, you're talking about things to do, right?
Exactly. So I'll give you an example. I noticed that lots of the people I know who are depressed and anxious, the depression and anxiety focuses around their work. So I started to look at evidence. How do people feel about their work? Gallup did the most detailed ever study in the United States of this. They found 13% of us like our work. We look forward to it most of the time. 63% of people are what they called sleepwalking through their work. They don't like it, they don't hate it. And 24% of people hate their work. So you think about that, 87% of people don't like the thing they're doing most of the time. I thought, could there be some connection between that and our depression and anxiety epidemic? I discovered there was an amazing Australian scientist called Michael Marmot who actually discovered the key to this in the 1970s. Professor Marmot found out the key thing that makes people depressed at work is if you go to work and you feel you have no or low control. You feel like you're just like a robot on a line, right? And this is connected to, this is one of the things that connects so many of the things that cause depression and anxiety. Everyone listening to this knows they have natural physical needs, right? We all know we need food, we need water, we need clean air, we need warmth. If I took those things away from you, Tom, you would be in trouble real fast. There's equally strong evidence that we have natural psychological needs. You've got to feel you belong. You've got to feel your life has meaning and purpose. You've got to feel that people see you and value you. You've got to feel you've got a future that makes sense. And our culture is good at lots of things, but there's evidence we've been getting less and less good at meeting these deep psychological needs. So let's think about that in relation to work. If being controlled at work is what makes people depressed, I start to think, well, what's the solution to that, right? What's the antidepressant for that? I learned, and this is really connected to something you've done so much work on your show. I went to Baltimore and met a woman called Meredith Keough. Meredith used to go to bed every Sunday night, sick with anxiety, thinking about the week ahead. And, you know, she had an office job. It wasn't the worst office job in the world. She wasn't being bullied, but she couldn't bear the thought this was going to be the next 40 years of her life. So one day with her husband, Josh, she did something quite bold. Josh worked in a bike store he had since he was a teenager. And, you know, it's controlled work. It's insecure work. You've got very low benefits. One day, Josh and his friends had asked themselves, what does our boss actually do? You know, they liked their boss, but they fixed all the bikes. They quit and they opened a bike store that runs on a different principle. It is not a corporation with a boss. It's a democratic cooperative. So they take all the big decisions together. They vote on them. They share out the good tasks and the less good tasks so no one gets stuck with the depressing jobs. And they share the profits. And one of the things that was so fascinating to me there, totally in line with what Professor Marmot had found, is how many of them had been depressed and anxious before, but were no longer depressed in an environment where they were no longer controlled. As Josh put it to me, there's no reason why any business should be run as a top-down corporation. As you've talked about, Tom, that is a really recent invention in human history, and it's making us feel terrible, right? Imagine how many people listening to this who are depressed and anxious at the moment would feel differently if they knew that they were going into work tomorrow to a workplace that they controlled with their colleagues, where if there's a boss, he's elected, he's accountable to them, you know, where they set the priorities, right, where you regain control over your life. That's a, now well, there's an antidepressant.
Forgive my interrupting, Johan, sure, but we have about a minute and a half left. Mm. You mentioned shared profits. I'm guessing that their income went up. And I'm wondering, you know, I'm old enough to remember what life was like before Reaganomics and Thatcheronomics, mm-hmm, in the UK and neoliberal policies in Europe. The lifestyle of working people has gone from really healthy in the 60s and 70s to hanging on by our fingernails for the basic stuff at the bottom of Maslow's pyramid, you know, housing and things. Yeah. Might that be a very, very large factor, too? Should we, I mean, just bringing back unions and raising wages?
We know it is, because when they piloted a universal basic income in Canada in a town called Dauphin in the 70s, so they just said to people, we're giving you a guaranteed income, nothing you can do means we'll take it away. Severe depression and anxiety that was so bad people had to be hospitalized fell by 9%. The financial insecurity created by Reaganism and Thatcherism is a massive driver of the depression and anxiety epidemic. And this tells you something.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this and you're depressed and anxious, you are not crazy. You're not a machine with broken parts. You're a human being with unmet needs, and you need help from the society to get those needs met. You need social change. This is not my position. It's the position of the World Health Organization that says we need to talk less about chemical imbalances and more about power imbalances.
Wow. Wow. So you're calling, I mean, the book, we're talking with Johan Hari. The book is Lost Connections, and I just want to, you know, cause one, disconnection from meaningful work, disconnection from other people, disconnection from meaningful values, status and respect, childhood trauma, the natural world. And then your prescription is to reconnect in all these regards, as
I said. There's a story that really helped me to realize what's going on here. There's a South African psychiatrist called Derek Sommerfeld I went to meet, who happened to be in Cambodia when chemical antidepressants were first introduced there. And the Cambodian doctors didn't know what they were, so he explained. And they said, we don't need them, we've already got antidepressants. They explained about a farmer whose life they had helped to change. He'd been really depressed, oh, he had to work in a field.
They bought the guy a cow so he could be self-sufficient. I'm sorry, Johan, I know the story, sure, and I'm hitting the break here. Johan Hari, the book is Lost Connections. It's brilliant, uncovering the real causes of depression. Johan, hang on just a second.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
The website is thelostconnections.com. Johan, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Tom, for everything you do.
Great talking with you. Thanks. We'll be right back.